In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today. We are still on Luke 19. "But those mine enemies which would not that I should reign over them, bring them here and slay them before me." I tell you today, we need to ask Jesus to reign over us, to reign over our lives, to reign over our property, to reign over our monies, to reign over our children. We need to ask Jesus to reign over us, because he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Those that would not have him reign over them, they were to be slain before the Lord. I tell you, it is time for us to make Jesus our King, our Lord, our Savior, and have him reign over us. Verse 28, "And when he had spoken thus, he went before ascending up to Jerusalem." The only way to get to Jerusalem is to go up to Jerusalem. "And it came pass that he was coming near Bethphage and Bethany at the mount called the Mount of Olives. He sent two of his disciples, saying, Go into the village against you, and when you are entering, you shall find a colt tied thereon, yet never has anyone sat on it. Loose the colt and bring him to me. If any man asks you, why do you loose him? Thus say to him, the Lord has need of it." Let me tell you, you are not a colt. You are a human being. You were made in the image and likeness of God. The Lord has need of you. If he needed a colt to ride on, he needs you to bring his message to people who are absolutely desperate for the message of God. It's all about surrender. It's all about surrender. Today, I was talking with somebody in the parish, and she has had some trouble with some certain things, but she came to the fact that she needed to surrender all this to the Lord. Her dealing with it wasn't doing any good, so she surrendered it to the Lord, and things begin to change. This surrendering to the Lord is faith, because we realize that we cannot touch it. We cannot do it. So we surrender. You say, but you're supposed to use your faith. That my faith is to surrender this before the Lord. I must surrender him these broadcasts, because I cannot do this. It's only the Lord that knows how to do this. And so they brought the colt to Jesus, and they that were sent went their way and found even as he had said unto them. And as they were loosing the colt, the owners therefore said to them, why do you loose this colt? And they said, the Lord hath need of him. Oh yes, today the Lord hath need of you. Oh yes, he hath need of you. You might say, but I'm so weak. You're stronger than a colt. But I'm a sinner. Well, you've been forgiven by the blood of Jesus. But I'm not very bright. Well, the Lord uses the weak of the world to confound the wise. And they brought the colt to Jesus, and they cast their garments upon the colt, and they set Jesus on the colt. And as he went, they spread their clothes in the way. And when he had come nigh even to the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God, and with loud voices, for the mighty works that they had seen. So let me just kind of tell you what's happening. Jesus is descending the Mount of Olives. He will have to go through the valley and then into the Golden Gate. As people are saying, blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord. Glory to God in the highest. They were praising him. They were and some of the Pharisees among them said to him, Master, rebuke your disciples. Tell them not to say, Blessed be the King that comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Tell the disciples to shut up. And he answered and said unto them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. I remember going to the Holy Land in 1980, and the only thing I saw that Israel produced was stones. Big stones every single place. It was before they started to cultivate their country. I tell you, stones. The stones would cry out. People would know that there were a multitude of stones, that if his disciples did not praise him, the stones would praise him. And when he was near Jerusalem, he beheld the city and wept over it. He wept over Jerusalem. Why? Oh, he had said in another place, a mother hen would like to take her brood under her wings, you would not come. Saying, if you have known the things, at least this day, the things which belong unto peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. For the days shall come upon you that your enemies shall cast a trench about thee, and compass thee around, and keep thee on every side. He's telling about the destruction of Jerusalem. He cries, why? And they shall lay thee even to the ground, and your children within thee. And they shall not leave one stone upon another, because you did not know the time of your visitation. I pray that we know the time of the visitation of Jesus Christ in our lives today. That we realize that there is a visitation, that he comes in the power of the Holy Spirit. Oh yes, visitation. The poor Jewish people did not recognize the visitation of God in Christ Jesus. So what happens? Their temple would be destroyed and their city would be destroyed. It happened in the year 70. You might ask why. They failed to realize the visitation of God in Jesus Christ the Lord. Do you realize the visitation of God in Christ Jesus? Have you given him your life? Are you allowing him to reign over you and to reign over your family? And to reign over your property. I tell you, Jesus wept over Jerusalem because Jerusalem had failed to realize the visitation of God in Christ Jesus. Chapter 19, verse 45. And he went into the temple and began to cast them out that sold therein and that bought, saying unto them, It is written, My house shall be called a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. And he taught daily in the temple. And the chief priests and the scribes and the chief of the people sought to destroy him. And he could not find what they might do, for all the people were very attentive to hear Jesus. So what does Jesus do? He cleanses the temple. This is the stone or the piece of hay that breaks the camel's back. This is why they're going to crucify him, because he is speaking against the temple, against buying and selling in the temple. And he says, My house shall be called the house of prayer. I ask you, I wonder how many churches are really houses of prayer. Houses of prayer. That's what they're called to be. Houses of prayer. We have our little church, and we have this lady who has just come, and she said, Why aren't there more people that come to church? This is the place I found Jesus. Well, you know, you can only invite people, and you can only say to people, please come. But whether they come or not, you're not responsible. So I'm telling you, The house of prayer should be in the church, and as a matter of fact, in your home. Your home should be a house of prayer, not only of discussion, but of people that pray together. The people that pray together stay together. It's important to pray together. Chapter 20. And it came to pass that on one of those days, as he taught the people in the temple and preached the gospel, the chief priests and the scribes came upon him with the elders. Oh, they're always tormenting poor Jesus. And they spoke unto him, saying, Tell us, by what authority do you do these things? Or who is he that gave you this authority? In other words, where do you get this authority? Authority to cast out demons, authority to preach, authority to heal the sick. Where do you get this authority? And Jesus answered and said unto them, I will also ask you a question, and you answer me. The baptism of John, was it from heaven, or was it from men? So they have to make a decision. If they say from heaven, well, that's where Jesus gets his authority, because John prepared the road for Jesus. If they say from men, they would be saying that John was not of God, and people would despise them and maybe even hit them. So what happens? They're silent. And they reasoned with themselves, saying, If we shall say from heaven, he will say, Then why did you not believe in John? And if we say from men, all the people will stone us, for they were persuaded that John was a prophet. And they answered that they could not tell where John came from. And Jesus said unto them, Neither do I tell you by what authority that I do these things. I tell you, we know the authority. We saw him in the Jordan River. We saw the Father saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. We saw the Holy Spirit come upon him. He has the authority of the Father, and he has got the gift of the Holy Spirit. I tell you, it's the same today. People who preach today need to have the authority of God, need to have the authority of Jesus Christ, and need to have the love for Jesus Christ, that he would reign over them. We need Jesus. How often can I say it? I am in absolute need of Jesus. Without him, I have nothing. What do I have when he's not in me? I have nothing. I'm left to myself. When we do not know Jesus, we are lost. And again, I'll tell you, the best thing about being lost is being found. We ask Jesus to be our Savior, to be our healer, to be our God. Oh, yes. God has a plan for everyone who hears my voice. The plans I have for you are good, but you must surrender. You must allow me to reign over you. The parable of the wicked husbandman. Then he began to speak to the people this parable. A certain man planted a vineyard and led it forth to the husbandmen and went into a far country for a long time. And at the season he sent a servant to the husbandmen that they should give him the fruit of the vineyard. But the husbandmen beat him and sent him away empty. This is trouble. Trouble. Oh yes, you see, the Lord wants fruit. If you abide in me and my word abides in you, you will produce much fruit. And again he sent another servant. They beat him and entreated him shamefully and sent him away empty. And again he sent a third, that they wounded him also and cast him out. Then said the Lord of the vineyard, What shall I do? I will send my beloved son. It may be that they will reverence him when they see him. You see, this is the whole experience of the Jews, that God sent prophet after prophet after prophet, and they beat the prophet, and they killed the prophet, and they destroyed the prophet. But I'm telling you, Jesus Christ is the Father's only Son, and he says, maybe they will reverence my Son. Yeah, we see them reverence his Son. We know what they're going to do. We know what they're going to do. They're going to kill him. And when the husbandmen saw it, they reasoned among themselves, saying, This is the heir. Come, let us kill him, and we will inherit what is ours, you see. And so they cast him out of the vineyard, even as Jesus was cast out of the city of Jerusalem, and they killed him. What therefore shall the Lord of the vineyard do unto them? He shall come and destroy these husbandmen, and shall give the vineyard to others, Gentiles. And when they heard it, they said, God forbid. And he beheld them and said, what is this then that is written? The stone which the builders rejected, the Jews, the same has become the cornerstone. Whosoever shall fall upon the stone shall be broken, but on whoever it shall fall, it shall grind him to powder. So we see God in his mercy sends people, the prophets, to the Jewish people because they are his. And they kill the prophets. They destroy the prophets. And finally he sends his son. But I want to tell you, not only did the Jews kill Jesus, but I killed him by my sins. You killed him by your sins. Oh, but what does he say? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I tell you, God is into the forgiving business. He knows how to make the lost be found through forgiving us through the blood of Jesus. Do you know that today? Do you know that nothing that you've ever done cannot be forgiven? God wants to forgive you as he pours out his blood upon you, that you would become white as snow. Do you know that today? Do you know that today, that if you're lost, he wants you to be found? He is the good shepherd who comes and seeks you. You know the story of my friend Anthony. He came to us because he had terrible cancer. His friends brought him to us. And when he came the second time, after he had given his life to Jesus, he said, you're not going to believe me. The devil came into my room and he said, I want you. And then he said, a hand came into my room. It was the hand of God. And he pointed at the devil, and the devil ran away. My Lord, this guy knew nothing about faith. He just became a new believer, and the devil wanted his soul. Then he came the next week and said, do you know, Jesus came into my room, and he looked at me, and he loved me. And I said, I believe you, Anthony. He went home that night, climbed the steps with his girlfriend, takes a severe heart attack, and dies. I tell you, the devil was looking for his soul, and so was Jesus, the good shepherd. And Jesus won the battle. And I was the one to be so blessed that Anthony would come to me. Isn't that wonderful? That he came to me and not to anybody else. That is a feather in my hat. Not because of me, but the Lord knew that I would lead him to Jesus Christ. The Lord knew that. And that's why he sent them to me. The weakest of the weak I am. The broken of the brokenest I am. But the Lord sent Anthony to me because he knew I would lead him to the Lord Jesus Christ. 19:20. And the chief priests and the scribes the same hour sought to lay hands on Jesus, but they feared the people, for they perceived that he had spoken this parable against them. They did. That was the parable against the chief priests and the scribes. And they watched him and sent forth spies which should feign themselves just men, that they might take hold of his words, that so they might deliver him unto the power and authority of the governor. And they asked him, saying, Master, see, they're phonies. Master, we know that you say and teach rightly, because you have been accepted by every person, and that you teach the way of God. Is it lawful for us to give tribute unto Caesar or not? See, they're trying to trick him. They're trying to trick Jesus. But you don't trick Jesus. You don't trick Jesus. But he perceived their craftiness and said unto them, why do you tempt me? Show me the coin whose image and superscription is on it? And they answered, It is Caesar's. And then he said unto them, Render therefore unto Caesar the things that belong to Caesar, and unto God the things that belong to God. What belongs to God? There is nothing that you have that has not been given to you. There is nothing that I have that has not been given to me. We are to render everything to the Lord. We are to allow Him to reign over us. That's the word for today. Reign over us, Lord. We want to produce fruit. If you abide in me and my word abides in you, you will produce much fruit. And they could not take hold of his words before the people, and they marveled at his answer, and he held their peace. They're always trying to trick him, but no one's tricking Jesus. He's the Lord. He's the Lord. He said, render the things that belong to Caesar, and the things that belong to God, to God. I tell you, your voice belongs to God. Your body belongs to God. Your senses belong to God. Your money belongs to God. You say, I've earned it. He's given you the power to earn it. Everything you are and everything you have belongs to God. What should you be saying? Reign over me. Reign over me, Lord. If you're lost today, Jesus wants your soul. He wants your body. Reign over me, Lord. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. Be my everything. Reign over me, Lord. I do not want to be like the people that would not let you reign over them. I want you to reign over me, Lord. Then came to him certain of the Sadducees, they do not believe in the resurrection, which deny that there is a resurrection. And they asked him, Master, Moses wrote unto us, if any man's brother die having a wife, and he dies without children, that his brother should take his wife and raise up children unto the brother. There were seven brothers, and the first took a wife and died without children, and the second took a wife and died childless, and the third took her, and like manner the whole seven also, and they left no children and died. Last of all, the woman died. Therefore, in the resurrection, whose wife of them is she? For seven married her. Jesus answering them said unto them, The children of this world marry and are given in marriage, but they which shall be accounted worthy to obtain the world, the resurrection from the dead, neither marry nor are given in marriage, neither can they die any more, for they are equal unto the angels, and are the children of God, being the children of the resurrection. Now that the dead are raised, even Moses showed at the burning bush, when he called the Lord the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, for he is not the God of the dead, but of the living. And I tell you, He is the God of the church. He is the God of the living. He is the God that wants our hearts. There is no marriage and giving in marriage in heaven. That happens on earth. These Sadducees tried to trick Jesus. Again, you don't trick Jesus. He's the Lord. He's the way. He's the truth. And He's the life. Today, I ask you to give yourself to Him, to give yourself to Him in a new way. I ask you to pray for a friend of mine. She is an evangelist. Please pray for her today. I won't give you her name, but you pray for her today. That's all I can tell you. This one is a faithful child of God. She has done the work of God. Pray for her today. We lift her up today, Lord, with all your people, that she would come out of this trial looking like she's smelling the roses, that things great would happen to her rather than destruction. You know, God, that she has served you with her heart. Please now, Lord, help her in her distress. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Behold the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be done unto me according to your word. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory. The glory is the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. We still owe $15,000 for the July bills. Please help me. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Or go to the internet, inseason.net, and leave a donation. And may God bless you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.